The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I heard you wanna chat with your girl. Chat. Business and beauty, come and confess how you make your money and say yes to the gas.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I finally hunted this bitch down, this boss ass bitch. My special guest today is a good friend, an inspiration to me, the one, the only, Ava Gutowski.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're like a bird just going branch to branch, tree to tree, country to country. I'm like, where is the wind beneath her wings taking her next?
Dead ass. Like right now I have no apartment. All my stuff's in storage.
I saw.
Yeah, I'm at a friend's house.
You're literally a free bird and still killing it. If you guys do not know Ava, or My Life is Ava, previously, a OG lifestyle YouTuber, 11 freaking million subscribers, 8 million on Instagram, and 7 million on TikTok. You are literally the fantasy of YouTube. You have a best-selling book, you have shows, you have businesses, you're a musician, Marisol, and you have like the most amazing eye that I have ever seen. And to see you grow is just like, I'm gonna be a fan today and just praise you. But I want everyone to like be inspired by you, like I've been inspired, because you're so successful, but you're just like, it's not intimidating the way that you make it seem. So it's like really awesome, and congratulations on keeping it real.
Thank you. I know, it's crazy. We met so long ago. We met like years and years ago, and just like to see us grow together and like grow into different facets, like seeing you start your own beauty brand before Coastal, like I got to see you do it and like learn from it and everything. It's been an amazing journey, and I'm so fortunate, you know, to start from just like a college kid in her bedroom, just trying to survive, make some money. And yeah, when I started YouTube, that was before the word influencer literally even probably even existed in that sense. You couldn't really make money off of YouTube. No one was doing brand deals. It was just a ghost town. Like that, the whole culture of the internet and where it is now with monetization and like being your own brand, that didn't exist when I started my YouTube channel. So it's just crazy that like I'm now in this position where I do own brands and I'm this like business mogul, quote unquote. And like, you know, it's just, yeah, it's been a journey. It's been a journey. So.
It's crazy blessed. Because I feel like I'm one of the millions that have followed you from like early days in your bedroom, on your webcam, like so crazy. We were literally jamming to your music in here. We were looking at your brand page. We even threw it back to your original music video of you and the G, and now you have a G-Wagon, and it's just like, this is so fucking ridiculous. Like,
dude, okay,
in a good way.
No, I would just like to say I am the queen of manifestation unintentionally, because I am not like, no offense to anyone that loves manifestation. I just don't like, that's not something I've really like gotten really into. So I can't speak as the person that's like, oh, like write things down 5 times a day, like look in the mirror and say to yourself, like, I'm just not that person. I manifest kind of like unintentionally within me. Like I like to write things down. I like to think about it, but I don't really peg the term manifestation to it. I don't know. I just, it just came naturally for me, but it's just crazy that like, when I look back on all the things that I've done and accomplished, like for example, like writing that lyric, riding in the G-Wagon. And like, I remember being, I think I was like 20 when I made that music video for literally my life. I wrote that lyric down because I was seeing G-Wagons everywhere. And I was like, this is such a cool car, but like, I'll never have that car. And I remember renting an old model, like a 2007 model for the music video. And I was so afraid to drive that car for that music video, just around in a loop in the parking lot. Fast forward 5 years later, I freaking own a brand new G-Wagon. Like, I don't even know. And there's so many things in my life that went that way where like, I spoke it into existence and it just happened. It's just freaking weird. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm really, I don't know, manifestation flows through my fingertips unintentionally.
Right. I was watching, you know, I've seen this idea of being delusional is okay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what just has to fuel us, especially being able to like transcend like what are the norms are and the standards are. We have to have some degree of like just being insane and delusional. So I think even for me too, and I remember like even doing like the Disney Channel, like yeah. Mickey Mouse, hi, I'm Patrick and you're watching Disney. And I'm doing it with like Raven Simone and Annalisa Vanderpool and then pretending to be on Top Model and then actually being on Top Model. Yeah. It's just like these like fucking things are crazy. So I totally can relate because we're just crazy in our heads, because I think as influencers, we pretty much edit and curate the way that we want to live and be. And it just so happened we worked our way towards that, especially you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually very interesting, like to think about it that way, because we do kind of like have to really believe in ourselves in a crazy way. And like everything that we put out online is working towards a goal, whether we even, you know, are intentional about it or not. That's just the life that, you know, we all put our lives on the internet as this fantasy. And like, in some way we're manifesting that kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. whether we think we are or not. But I mean, I don't know if you know like any of my story growing up, but I grew up in a very traumatic childhood home, and I went through serious depression until I was about 15 years old. And something within me, because the thing is, I couldn't afford a therapist. I couldn't afford to really like seek out help for my mental health in the way that now I can. And there's so many more options with mental health now these days for someone that was my age like that. But when I was 14, 15, and I was basically at rock bottom with my depression, I got to a point where I realized I had to kind of like cure it myself. I had no one to rely on. I had no one to help me. And I could have really, you know, let myself crumble. But I got to my breaking point and I realized, you know, if I really want my life to be what I want it to be, I just have to start fucking working. I just have to start working towards it, grinding. I can't let myself be sad anymore. I have to do something different because being sad isn't working. And I just started fucking going. At 14, I started writing down lists of everything I was good at and everything that could maybe be my career in the future. And I was writing down like photographer, teacher, marine biologist, like actress, like dancer, everything. And I just got somehow in this like mental mindset of like, let's fucking go, let's fucking do this. And I got really business minded. That was kind of like my fix to my depression, was like just kind of getting overly business minded. I remember writing down like the salaries, like looking up at 14 years old, like how much does a professional dancer make a year? How much does a therapist? And I remember writing down the salaries next to the thing that I was good at and being like, okay, that's not enough. That's not going to work. That's not going to pay the bills.
Oh and, my God.
Somehow I landed on journalist. I was like, you know what? I like Oprah. And Oprah came from a really poor background too. And I was like, I'm going to be the next Oprah. So I looked up what she went to college for, and she went to college for broadcast journalism. And that's what my major was in college. I was literally like, I pinpointed that. And I remember at 16, just reaching out to like 17 Magazine and Teen Vogue and like all these, like I was delusional. I was like, I live in California. I have no money. All your companies are based in New York City. But if I find a way to get to New York City, can I tour the office? At 16, like, what the hell was I thinking? Wow. And I just kind of got into this, like, I hate to call it delusional, but because it kind of was. But I got into this extremely motivated mindset, and I didn't really look back on my depression ever again, because that was the fix for me. That was kind of like what got me out of my depression. And, you know, 4 years later, after going to college, editing all my YouTube videos through finals weeks, you know, going through my college major, I ended up working with 17. I ended up working with Teen Vogue. Everything that I manifested, I guess, for myself at 14 literally happened. And I didn't have any money to help me. I didn't have anybody that was famous in my family. I didn't have even a nice camera. I literally truly did it all myself. And it's crazy looking back now. It's like, I want to be such a big advocate for people to never give up on their dreams. And also, more importantly, never limit yourself in your own head. Never let your mind tell you you can't fucking do something. Because I feel like I'm the prime example of someone that literally came from nothing and rock bottom and just made it happen. And it was all about that mental switch that I did in my head. And I fully believe any of us can accomplish our dreams. if we just fucking believe in ourselves. That's the number one step. So yeah, it's just crazy.
I love it. Like, I don't know, like, you have this, like, aura that is, like, captivating, because it was so funny. I would catch myself, like, watching you and following you before we even met, and I'm like, this little skinny girl has nothing to do with a 250-pound-year-old Filipino bald man. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's, like, I think it was, well, looking back now, I think it was the way that your work ethic was, because I knew what it took to do tutorials, but your widgets and tracking and cutting and editing and color, like, back then, I'm sure you cringe at, but to me was, like, so fierce. And I was like, wow, she's really keeping up. And I think I had stumbled across your bio section on your YouTube, and I remember you were tracking your growth, yeah, important dates. And I remember I was around, like, 200,000-300,000, mm-hmm, at that time, and you were, like, on the road to, like, 1,000,000. And mm-hmm, I was like, oh my God, this is so fierce. And I think for people to maybe be inspired, did you have that as, like, checkpoints to say, okay, I've gotten this far, okay, next goal?
Yeah, I just wanted to remember my dates, because I feel like, you know, with any of us, like, our lives move so fast, and sometimes we forget, like, those memorable moments. And I didn't want to forget that, because I remember how I feel still to this day when I hit 500 subscribers and 1,000. And it's like, when you have 1,000,000, you know, it's like, a lot of times you can forget what that 1,000 felt like, and the day, and you know, it's, I like to just look at progress like that. And so I started very early on writing in my bio, like, this was the day to hit 1,000. This was the day to hit 100,000. This was the day to hit 1,000,000. And I think I went up to, oh gosh, I don't even know. I think I went up to, like, frick, maybe 5,000,000 I stopped. But it's cool, because now, yeah, it's cool because now I can look back and be like, oh shit, like, this was the year, this was the date. Because you can't find that information, really. I mean, unless you really dig for it, but.
Right. Yeah. No, it's so freaking cool that you've been able to still continuously be consistent and grow and still be happy on social media. But are you, even with all the other apps like TikTok and Snap and YouTube and Insta, does that still drive you to look at your growth, or are you just doing this new Ava?
I'll be honest, like, I say this to a lot of people that really get caught up in, like, numbers and growth. When I hit, okay, especially when I hit 10 million, I felt weird. Like, you would expect to feel like, yes, like, 10 million subscribers, like, crazy. But I just felt like so weird. And I think it was because hitting 10 million didn't feel any different than hitting 3 million or 5, or, you know, I feel like when you get up to those types of numbers, at least for me, I realized early on, because I've been doing YouTube forever, you know, I realized early on that it wasn't just about numbers for me. It was about building something, and building something deeper than numbers. And it's like, at this point in time, I know how to grow a channel. I know how to make a viral video. I feel like you do too. Like, we know the formula. We've gone to where we are because we really understand that formula. And I got to a point where that formula didn't really matter to me, because, you know, I can get numbers all day long, but what am I really doing for people? Like, what am I really building for people? And so, yeah, I mean, numbers, I still look at them because it is cool to still be growing. Even, you know, I'm reaching my 10-year mark on YouTube this year in November. Yeah. So it is cool, like, kind of being this, like, OG creator, and also being like, holy shit, like, my TikTok is still growing just as fast as, like, some of these new creators. It's really humbling to see that and be like, what the hell? Like, I mean, okay, I know you probably relate to this. Have you ever felt where you're like, you know what? Like, I've done it. I've had my time. I'm good with where I am. I don't need to grow anymore. Like, let me sit back. You know, like, I feel like that sometimes, where it's just like, I don't need more subscribers. I don't need more any of this. But then when you realize that you still are growing, it's just a crazy feeling. It's very humbling. But yeah, I mean, realistically, like, I just want to build, like, I just want to focus on building brands. I want to focus on building my music. I want to focus on building my hobbies out and making them as big as they can be. And I care about that a lot more than just, like, growing my social media. So that's kind of why you won't see me, like, necessarily, like, doing all of the hottest trends or, like, uploading, you know, I post an Instagram, like, twice a month sometimes. I'm just like allowing myself to kind of like do what I love to do and not really focus on like grind, grow all these numbers. It was fun for like a couple years when I wanted to do that, but I'm just not in the mental space right now to be like wanting or caring about solely growing numbers. I don't know about you, if you feel the same way, but.
Yeah, I definitely feel the same way because I, you know, obviously, you know, the algorithms change and this and that, and it's just crazy. But I think when I started the brand, I was being fulfilled in like a different way. Mm-hmm. And I know my engagement has like plummeted, but at the same time, I'm like, these experiences that I'm getting as a founder and making moves like is unmatched to any influencer experience that I haven't already done. So I think for me, like, I mean, I've done the campaigns, I've done the commercials, I've done, you know, the movie cameos, and I'm like, okay, red carpets, award shows, I'm like, but building a brand and having this experience is like so new, and it really drives me to put my experience into play on the business side. So I feel like that's, although social media and growing is great, and other influencers may see like, oh, is he really active? Like, bitch, I'm fucking active as fuck. Like, if not more than I was when I was really grinding and growing before. And to be in North America in 500 Sephora's and in Southeast Asia and continuing to grow, it's like, it's fucking hard, you know? So it's crazy.
Yeah. I have so many friends on social media that like, it's cool seeing everyone take their own path. Like, I have friends that, you know, grind, only post like fashion content on Instagram. I have people that are like only posting comedy videos on TikTok. I have people that are like barely posting at all and like running freaking multi-million dollar brands. And it's like, it's cool to see that there's not one formula of influencer that like you have to take. There's not one lane you have to be in. For me personally, like, some of my best friends, I only see them post one type of content, or they'll only do brand deals that like really don't tie to like who they are as a person, or they don't really have like a strong connection with their fan base. And for me, it's like, I rather not take every single brand deal that comes to me and focus more on like building my audience or take that hit on engagement because I'm posting about my Coastal Citizen skincare brand. And I feel like for me at the end of the day, like the way I see it is 10 years from now, when I look back on my career, I think I would be personally more proud of myself to say like, I built out all of these things that I've always wanted to do. I've written a book. I've like changed some people's lives with my stories, even if they were hard to tell, than be like, oh, I made, you know, $10 million off of like Petco brand deals, you know, even though, no, Petco, we love you. We love you. But it's like, you know, 10 years from now, the money is not going to matter so much as building something. Like, I'd rather tell my kids in the future about all the things that I built that I really had to work hard for than just like having, you know, millions. Like, I could have 20 million subscribers right now if that was what I cared about. But the last couple years, like I said, like when I hit 10 million, I was like, okay, do I want 20? And I kind of didn't. Like, that wasn't really what I wanted to work towards. I think when I hit 10 million, I was like, this is a lot of freaking people. And I'm so blessed to have grown this audience. And now I want to build something for them, you know, instead of like collecting 10 million more.
Right. Because then I think in a sense, it becomes like unfulfilling. And plus, like, you know, there's a parallel to like the numbers and a parallel to like life in terms of growing, because you can grow as numbers, but like as a person and a human being, like, we have to find fulfillment and joy in our personal growth too. And I think for me, and I've seen this on your channel like literally recently, is I think my whole 20s, you know, I'm in my 30s now, like, I really grew Patrick Starr, but when I look back, I was like, where was Patrick? Where was me? And I'm like, I created this like fantasy of a glam bitch. And I look back and I'm like, oh my God, did I ever do anything for like Mimi? You know, I've never been in a relationship, and I'm in my fucking 30s, you know, and I'm seeing all these like little gay boys and girls like suck it and fuck it on TikTok, you know? So I'm like, damn. But then for you too, like I've seen you've taken a shift from that, what I've seen as like teeny bopper saturated content, you know, the colors are bright and
yeah.
That was like once upon a time. And now you're like stepped into like your female boss ass cinematographer, color grading, techie ass, like, and also through what you're posting now is just like chattable, like, you know, content that people really want to indulge in with you. And I've seen that shift and it's really cool.
Yeah, I remember when I was struggling to make that shift. Like there's a period in my life, I would say it was like 2017 to 2018. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like I look back on the last 10 years of me being on the internet and it is literally so hilarious seeing the like eras of Ava, like the eras of myself. Like I started off, I was just like this broke college student that was like had no backbone and was just a sweet little angel that could never say no to anybody. And then there was like color grading, saturation, sketch, improv that was like dressing up in costumes and had like 40 different colored wigs in her house.
Yes.
Full YouTube sketch girl.
Yes.
Then there's like beauty guru lifestyle Ava.
Yes. Like, I think I was like in between those.
Us. There's like the morning routine Ava.
Yes.
And then there was surfer, cool, travel girl, 2016 Ava.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was like tanned and like blonde. And then I started dating my ex, Adam, and then I was like motherly TJ Maxx Ava, where I was like,
yeah.
Like I
domesticated
just
got, Ava. Yeah. Yes.
And
with a house and things. Yes.
Yeah, house, everything like that. Like that was like family vlogger Ava.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was interesting because when I ended that relationship, that was when I was struggling with like who I was going to become next, because that was at the point where everyone was kind of staying like, all my comments on YouTube were like, we want old Ava back, like do morning routines, do sketches. And I was like, I'm literally 24. Like, I don't know if I can do that anymore, but I tried for like a year. I tried to kind of upload that content because I was like, okay, you know, maybe that's just what people want. If that's what makes people happy, it's not making me happy anymore, but it's making them happy. So let me continue to make those videos. And you can just tell like my heart was falling out of it. And then that was kind of when I started hanging out with Brent again, because I was single. And then, yeah, Brent and I just kind of really organically like fell into this, like our Brava content.
Uh-huh.
And it was crazy because like I was at this pivot point in my YouTube career where I was like, okay, am I going to continue on this like Vlogtowski family vlogger Ava, or am I going to like do something different? And I feel like if I went down the route of like family vlogger Ava, I would have probably at this point been like, I don't even know. I probably would have been like some fashion blogger. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would have been that person, but instead I ended up dating Brent and like falling back into like the TikTok world and like meeting like Pearson and all of those people. And it's crazy. Like if that wouldn't have happened, me starting to hang out with Brent again in like 2018, I wouldn't be the person I am today. Like, standing right here doing this podcast with you, I'm staying at my friend's house, and I wouldn't have even met her if I didn't end up with Brent. So anyway, so did the Brava content, then Brava ended and I met Olav, and then Olav's like this cool, like sick, well-connected photographer dude that's like Norwegian and like really like just really cool. And I started doing music, and then now it's like music Ava, which is like this like cool, like aesthetic, like person. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like TikToker music Ava with a skincare brand. I'm like adult Ava that's still like young.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I guess that's where I am today. So the evolution of Ava has been pretty freaking. Oh, I there was a quick period where I was like falling into like tomboy Ava and I was skating and like,
yeah, I remember that's what I was gonna say. You were missing, you were hanging out with all like the shaggy hair dudes and tomboy.
Yeah. I only wore men's clothes for like 7 months straight.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. It's so crazy because right before we were recording, my producer Dez was like, do you remember when you did her drag makeup? And I was like, wait, I did her drag makeup. And she was like, yeah. And then she didn't film it. And I was like, wait, what? And she pulled it up and I was like, I do not remember. Like, and we have like, I think 3 or 4 videos. I've done your makeup like so many times, like for the YouTube. And I'm like, this is so crazy. We have a lot of history. And
yeah, drag makeup. And I remember putting on the boobs.
The boobs. And we were just cracking up.
Do you know, I have the funniest fucking photo. And it was when I came home from your house in the drag makeup, and I was going to scare my boyfriend because he didn't know that I had drag makeup on. And it's me on my security camera, like this grainy black and white photo from like aerial of me at my front door holding the vlog camera in drag makeup. And I look like literally a demon. And it's so funny.
We played it at the very end. We fast forwarded to the end, and you're like, you know, up in his face, and he's like, what the fuck? And it was just the most hilarious thing. And then from that young Ava reliving that drag makeup, and then to the glam Ava where you were blonde beachy in that era. It's just so crazy. We have to do an updated one with your skincare and my makeup, like with our shit together.
Oh my gosh, we definitely do.
Yeah, whenever you're in town.
I remember I still have a photo of you when you did my makeup and it was really pretty. And I still look at that photo and I'm like, that was the best makeup look I've had in my entire life. Like I looked so good. I've never looked
I remember. And I was like, I just want to get my hands on Ava and just glam her and give her like the Patrick Star, like Hollywood, like fresh LA glam. And it's just crazy to see like your evolution and your fucking skin like looks so, so sickening.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember when you did my makeup, my skin was not good. It wasn't like terrible, but I always look back on photos during that time in my life just because that was a point where my skin was just like all over the place. It wasn't consistent at all. And that's just the earliest photos I probably have of like good iPhone photos of my skin just not looking like the best it could be. So I reference those a lot with my skin now, with my skincare brand.
Was that pretty much the inspiration, like your skincare journey for your skincare brand? And then what was it like being in the making of that?
Yeah, well, so my skincare brand is called Coastal Citizen. And as you know, I'm a big coastal person. I love the ocean. I love the beach. And I guess like to tie that whole the idea behind the brand together, you saw me during that time in my life. I mean, I've struggled with my skin since I was, you know, as early as I can remember, probably like 12 or 13. And I always felt isolated in my skin. I always felt like I was the only one going through the problems that I had. And growing up, my family didn't really teach me ever about like the importance of washing your pillowcase, the importance about washing your face, the importance about eating healthy. That was just something that like, I mean, we just didn't really know as a family. And so as I've been growing on YouTube and like over the years, I've learned so much because mainly of my friends that live coastally. I was really lucky to fall into a bunch of really sick surfer friends that like lived on the ocean and like lived in Kauai and knew all these supernatural ingredients that like almost hadn't even hit like the whole LA quote unquote like LA hippie market yet. Uh-huh. Like this was some like true authentic, like just beach kid living in the jungle type of shit. When I met them, I was still at the point where I didn't really know how to wash my face properly. I was still putting pounds and pounds of chemicals on my face, just trying to make my acne go away. I was basically doing everything wrong, and I was doing everything way over the top because as society, we are conditioned, as especially women, to just fucking put things on our face that do not need to be on our face. We are always conditioned to change things about ourselves. We're always conditioned to do the fucking most. That was the mindset that I was at when I met these people. And so I remember I was going to Hawaii and I was so inspired by the culture and so inspired by the lifestyle. I was wanting to swim in the ocean and find dolphins and like just go hiking. But at the same time, I was waking up an hour early before anyone else woke up in Hawaii to do my makeup routine and put pounds of foundation on my face to cover my acne scars. And I was straightening my hair. And the lifestyle I was trying to live and the lifestyle I was falling in love with didn't work with my beauty routine. And I had to realize how to kind of like find a middle ground and let go of a lot of things that I was insecure about. I had to realize, you know, like my skin is the way it is and it's beautiful and I have to love it and I can't keep hiding everything about me, you know? I had to realize that my hair was curly and not straight.
I remember I was just about to say, I was like, for her going swimming so much in the ocean, like your wig is just gonna fall off. So was like so powerful, where you like really embraced your natural curls in a meaningful way.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the point where I was literally trying to surf like Hawaii waves in a wig, in a blonde wig. Like that was, and it was crazy because like at the time, it's not like I felt insecure. It wasn't like I was like, I had an internal voice really beating me down. But looking back, it's like, that was what it was. Even if I didn't really know it at the time, like I wasn't comfortable with my natural hair. I wasn't comfortable with my natural skin. And it was just hilarious because it was like, I'd wake up early and I would do my eyebrows and I would do my skin and I would do my hair, knowing that I was about to have it all fucked up in the ocean like an hour later. Like logic was not there with me, you know, especially being like growing up mixed and like being black and white, you're just going through a full identity crisis for the longest time. And it really, it's everyone's journey going on that journey themselves to kind of like get to the point where they do have that trigger that makes them comfortable with themselves. And for me, that Hawaii lifestyle was the push that I needed to realize like everyone in my circle loved themselves. Like I started having friends with curly hair and I started having friends that didn't wear makeup that did have acne, and it made me comfortable. So I started using more natural ingredients. I started embracing my skin more. I started letting my skin breathe more. So I wouldn't do full faces of makeup every day. I would do it only when I really, really wanted to like show out, be glam, because I'm still a glam girl. Like I'm not that girl that's just like, let's just all live like makeup free. Like I still love
never
makeup, you know, like I'm just never gonna be that girl. If I'm in Hawaii, like I can be that girl, but I still like to put my concealer on. I still like to put my brows on. I still like to contour. Like I still love that stuff. So it's like, I just had to realize like what is going to work for my skin and also work for my aesthetic and the things that I love. And that's when my skin really started to heal, was that path. And I really owe a lot of it to those people that just lived by the ocean and lived more free and, you know, allowed nature to kind of dictate their lifestyle a little bit more. And so, yeah, the last 5 years I healed my skin, and it's just crazy because if you struggle with acne, I'm sure you have the same mindset where it's like, you feel like you're up against the fucking world and you feel like there's no way out. And you get to a point where you're just like, you know what? I give up. This is just my skin. This is just my genetics. I'm never going to fix this. I'm never going to have that glowy, dewy dream skin that I've always wanted. It's just not for me, you know? And to be at the point now where like, look, my skin is freaking
sickening. I was just on the Coastal Citizen page and you're like up in the fucking camera. Like the crop is super tight. It's looks unedited. It's just raw, real. And I'm like, this bitch's skin is sickening.
Thank you. I'm not afraid of my skin anymore. And I accept it for what it is. And like part of the healing process is really just like realizing we have to all be so much kinder to our skin. Like we really have to like work together versus work against it. And I'm so proud to say like I healed my skin, and like of course I have breakouts, of course I still struggle with hormonal acne, so like every time my period comes I get acne, but I know how to take care of it now. And like my skincare line is so natural, and so it's like the perfect balance of doctoral ingredients and natural healing ingredients. So it's not like I'm nuking my skin anymore with like all these acids and all of these like peroxides and stuff, you know, like all that stuff does is just dry out your skin. Right. And if you're not balancing it with things that are hydrating and things that are nourishing, your skin's going to end up looking like mine did in like 2017, which was just like fighting for its freaking life, you know, just fighting for some love. Yeah. So I'm all about loving your skin. I'm all about nurturing it, hydrating it, giving your skin what it needs, and nothing more and nothing less. Just, you know, listening to your skin. And that's what Coastal Citizen is all about.
What's your favorite product from your brand so far?
My favorite product is Sunglass, because that product is literally the Paris filter on Instagram in a glass jar. Like, I don't know if you've tried it, but like it is. Okay, I have dry skin. Like I'm very unhydrated. I need to drink more water, and my skin. Look at me drinking fucking iced coffee. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? No, but like my skin is so dry, and I always wanted that. Okay, let's start from this. So when I started clearing my acne, my skin was really dry because the products that I was using at first, it was just drying my skin out and it took the acne away, but it wasn't providing anything hydrating to my skin. Mm-hmm. And I would look at these girls on like Instagram and like TikTok and Pinterest with that like dewy, glowy glass skin that just looked like it was like smooth as butter. Mm-hmm. And like you could just touch it and it would just be like perfect, you know, like not a pore in sight. And I was like, damn, like, how do I get that skin? And, you know, when you put on your skincare, you have that look for like 20 minutes, you know?
Yes.
And you're like, ooh, I just slathered my skin in all this skincare. Like, I'm glowing. But then your skin drinks it in. And like,
literally,
you don't have that glow anymore, you know? And I wanted that glow to last all the way until freaking golden hour in the sun. And yeah, so Sunglass is that bitch. It is that product. It's the product that you can put on top of all your skincare, or, you know, if you just want to put it on as its own underneath some sunscreen. And I promise you, you will literally glow like you have glass skin until freaking 11 p.m., until you wash your face. And it's got these crazy ingredients in it, so it doesn't make your skin look oily, because there's actually a product in there that's actually like soaking up the oils, like the bad oils that you don't want. And it's keeping the good ones. So your skin just looks hydrated, but not greasy. And it's just phenomenal. You can use it on your cheeks. You can use it all over. You can use it on your lips. It's got this like pearlescent mica. So it just makes your skin glow from every angle. And it just kind of mimics like if you put highlighter on your face, but it's a skincare product. It's not makeup. So you just naturally look like you're just highlighted, glowing, even. It blurs texture. It's just that bitch. Like, it really,
I love it. I love it. Well, it's cut that bitch of a product is coming from that bitch who has like a fucking million things going on. So how do you, I mean, from, you know, spewing out like marketing claims and product development, all of that, how are you dividing your 24 hours and 24/7 between your music, sleeping? You look like you fucking get 10 hours of sleep. You're posting, you're at your, oh my gosh, we have to just shout out your India vlog. We just like played it. So sickening. You just need to be in like film festivals and, you know, year after year. It's just so dope. But like, how are you staying alive with or inspired at the same time through that? Plus, so music, brand, cinematography with your YouTube, relationships, you got a man, and then on top of that, TikTok, Instagram, and the rest. Like, what does it take?
Well, first of all, I do get 8 hours of sleep every single night. Like, I gotta sleep. I love sleep. I go to bed late, but I get that 8 hours. If I have to wake up at 9 a.m., I will do it. So I don't put too much stress on myself with like morning times, because I like to wake up and be happy and not be stressed. As far as dividing everything, I love organization. I'm a big planner person, a big list person. I love writing things down. I love productivity. So I love that stuff. And also, self-care is extremely important to me. I always make sure that I'm good. Like, it is me first for the most part. I know what I need to be happy. I know what I need to not be stressed. For example, I like to be alone a lot. And if there's too many people around me, I just know I need to get away to like get work done. So I'll go to a coffee shop, or I'll kick everyone out of my house just to like get my work done. I put me first in that aspect, because I know if I don't, I just get extremely anxious and like freak out within myself. So I give myself that space. I need my own space a lot. I love watching sunsets. So I make sure to watch every sunset every single day. And I love margaritas, or I love tea. So it's like, I'll work really hard throughout the day, but as soon as sunset comes, I put on bossa nova music. I make myself a margarita and I watch the sunset, or I'll make myself tea if I'm not feeling the margarita. But I always make sure when the sunset comes to play music, watch the sunset, and have a drink, whatever it is. As long as I do those three things, and I'm alone or I'm with like a friend, as long as I'm doing those things, I know for a fact I'll have a good day. Even if it's a shit day, as long as I do those three things, I'm good. And I highly encourage anyone listening to this to find those things as small as they can be that you know you'll be happy if you do those things, and do them every single day. It doesn't have to be something freaking crazy, but like something as simple as like making tea and watching a Netflix show before bed. Like if that's what it takes to make your day amazing, even if your day fucking sucked, you have to do that daily. And as long as you do those things, I feel like your mental health will be stable.
Right, right. Mine is literally just making my bed in the morning. That way I have this hotel like effect when I like pull the sheets. I have a ton of pillows. So it gives me this like luxe like hotel vibe. And I just like slip in. I arrange all the pillows in every which way. And then I dive in and I make it a point no matter how late I'm running or early, like I have to make my bed. So that way when I know I have a rough day, I'm going to end in the same spot that I made that morning. So it kind of gives like bookend. Just satisfaction for that. I want to talk about like the inspo, because for me, I obviously have the brand. I have Patrick Star, Team Star, publicist for the brand, marketing, sales, digital.com. It's just so crazy in my life. But when you allocate like your time, like let's say you have like music on Mondays, brand on Tuesdays, Ava this, Olav this, does it tend to bleed over? If you're super inspired about a song, do you just like sacrifice like a different topic on the next day to just finish what you wanna before you forget the inspo, or you're gonna say, it's done, I'm gonna pick it up next Monday?
I'm not super consistent with that kind of thing. I usually am the person that just has to finish it. But at the same time, like I don't hold myself to it completely. Like I kind of, until the inspiration runs out, I'm in it. So it's like, if I have an idea for an edit, like a travel edit or something, I will finish it until the inspiration runs out and I get to pick it up another day. Sometimes I finish it when I'm inspired, like completely. But if it's a bigger project, like a song or a YouTube edit or something like that, usually it takes multiple days to finish. Because I am involved in so many creative things, I have to allow myself to, like, when I have that creative flow, just fully be in it. So, like, for example, like, when I'm making music, there'll be times when I'm, like, fully in the studio from the moment I wake up until, like, 4 a.m, and that'll just go as a cycle. But then there's times where I don't make a song for 5 months. Like, I'm just not, you know, in it. Or there's times where I'll be super into producing a song. And then there's times when I'm only into writing, but I don't want to really produce. So I just allow myself to like go with the flow. I don't put too much stress on myself when I'm like in that creative process, because I feel like all creative processes should be respected and you shouldn't force anything that you don't want to do. So if you're in a mood to write music, but you're not in a mood to edit a YouTube video, then write music, you know, allow yourself to fully get it all out of you in that writing aspect. And when you're inspired to do YouTube, do YouTube. I feel like as brand people and as people that like, this is our job, there has to be some sort of consistency with all of them. But once you build that consistency, like for example, having a YouTube editor, having a team behind you to help you like get brand deals done, stuff like that. As far as all of that goes, like lock that in, dial it in, that's your job. But when it comes to the creative process, just go with the flow. Like allow yourself to just create. Yeah,
it's been hard because I feel like when I look at like all the creatives that you're doing, it's very solo. But would you say like a lot of your creative processes are solo based, like you don't have your producers or team come in until much later, right?
Yeah, I mean, my brain is filled with just like way too many ideas. If I could get done every idea in my head, that would be so freaking amazing. But unfortunately, I can't. So that's good. That's the one thing that I don't need. I need everything else, though. But the one thing I don't need is someone helping me with ideas. But I do need a lot of help accomplishing them.
Right. It's so crazy because I feel like the struggle with me right now, because a lot of it was like self-creative, like just in my brain. And I could just do with my two hands, two eyes, and ears, But now, like, having to activate these big picture ideas. We did a shoot the other day. There was, like, 40 people on set. But from the idea conception all the way to auditions and casting and how much the fucking shit's going to be. You know, we're talking six-figure production shoots for, you know, our blush launch, you know, and our contour launch. And it's just, like, a lot of money on the line. So I'm trying to find that balance to see how much creative. Because we're like, okay, marketing is from 1 to 2. PD is from 2 to 4. And then we have sales from 4 to 5. So it's like, Okay, so that's where I'm at. So I'm trying to find like a synergy between like what you're saying and how people can manage, because there's it's literally true. More money, more problems. Like you just have more people dialing in because we have to deploy and activate at the same time. Did you have that little struggle like in Coastal Citizen?
Oh yeah, I mean Coastal Citizen takes up like 90% of my time. I just feel like it's important to not get lost in the sauce, you know, and like not get lost in, you know, I'm sure you understand, but like when you build a brand, you underestimate how much fucking work it's going to be. And you know, it's like, you know, it's going to be work, but really like, especially if you're someone like me or someone that's just like highly involved, like needs to really cares, you know, suddenly you're like on every single meeting. You're designing the freaking graphics yourself. Like for Coastal, I'm literally the one that's curating the entire Instagram. I write every single caption.
I would die, girl.
Yeah.
It's fierce. We could tell. We could most definitely tell.
Yeah. I'm at the point where I'm literally retouching our own campaigns. Like that's oh my gosh. Yeah. That's the point that I'm at. But it's like I have to realize that I'm still my own person and I need to give time for like Ava, you know, what does Ava want to do? Because I'm constantly thinking as the brand, and you can't forget that you're also your own person. You're also your own person that has their own hobbies, their own desires. So I always try to make time to do not only the brand side of things with Coastal, but also like cater to, you know, if I want to go skateboarding one night, or if I want to take a day off, or if I want to go to freaking Greece for a week, I always say, like my old Instagram bio used to be in 2016. I'll always remember it was work hard, play hard. Mm-hmm. And that's such a stupid, you know, just like work hard, play hard. But like genuinely, that was my philosophy and it's still to this day my philosophy, because I work so hard and I care so much about my job and the things that I create and the things that I produce. But none of that would be possible. None of that drive would be possible if I didn't take all my friends to freaking Mykonos and have the summer of a lifetime, you know? I always make sure to balance that hard work with having a ton of fucking fun and making sure that the balance is always there. And if I ever get too stressed working too hard, I always make sure to take some time for myself and get away and really like play and have fun. And that's how I keep it together. If I wasn't, if I was just like traveling the world and not giving a fuck about like anything of my dreams and my goals, then none of my goals could ever be possible. Coastal Citizen wouldn't be what it is. And if I was extremely in Coastal and like not giving myself time to be myself, then I wouldn't be the Ava that travels and has all this fun that people actually, that's what they love about me, you know? So it's always the balance. I always have to make sure to have fun with what I'm doing. Yeah, super important to me.
Right. I'm learning that now. And it's so crazy that you're saying it, because you have a brand, you understand the balance. And I'm sure balance is so hard for people out there, especially coming out of COVID. Now we have opportunities to like work and play. Mm-hmm. And I think when people are growing and cultivating like a business or a brand, or just even balancing their fucking life, there are going to be sacrifices along the way. But what offsets the grief of sacrifice is putting yourself first. So you're not really losing, you're winning, because you have to, I gotta put me first, Lucius, you know? So very, I gotta put me first. And I think, I think before I would be so hard and like put myself down so much because I was sacrificing so much of what I've worked so hard for. But I think there was a breaking point where whether it was a panic attack or a breakdown or like my health, you know, being at risk, for me to realize, okay, this is not going to happen. The sacrifice is not worth it if I don't take care of me and the health and everything around me that fuels me to show up for those things.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of influencers go through that. And like, even still to this day, I feel like so many of my friends go through that even, you know, this month, where it's like realizing they're working too fucking hard. Like they're not giving themselves a break. And I feel like when you're in the job that we're in, when our careers solely rely on us and like the things that we put out, the content that we produce, and there's so many people like on TikTok, for example, like I'll get myself down sometimes because I'll go on TikTok and be like, wow, I haven't posted a TikTok in a week. And someone that I follow posted 3 TikToks a day for a week straight.
Literally.
And it's like you spiral. You're like, I can't keep up with this. I'm going to become irrelevant if I don't post 3 TikToks a day. Like you go so crazy. And it's like, there is part of that that I do agree with. The hustle, I'm not completely like a hater on, but I am a hater on doing it, pushing your body past its limits, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if your limit is one TikTok a week, that's your fucking limit. You could try to make it two a week. You could try to like push yourself. But if you do not in your body have it in you to post three TikToks a day for a week straight, and you push yourself to do that for a month or a year or
on something, top of everything else that you're doing, yes, too,
you're, I think it's go crazy.
Yeah, I think just putting everything into perspective, and I think people just need to take a step back like you have, and being aware. Like, I know not everyone has like a booming YouTube channel and vlogs to like look back, mm-hmm, on, but I feel like you really have to talk to yourself and realize, okay, fuck me, I'm not doing three TikToks a day, but I'm doing brand stuff, business stuff that they're probably not doing, or they're balancing. So I'm like, okay, it just makes me feel better to have this sense of reality and perception of my life versus theirs, because they can afford time to, mm-hmm, produce three TikToks and posts and that. But meanwhile, I'm doing 20 other bajillion things. So I think for anyone listening, that's like a really good healthy mindset to have, is just have the power of perception when it comes to,
yes, you. Yes, that's so true. And just realizing that everyone's on their own path, and like I get stuck a lot in like the mindset that I have to be fucking Superman and like somehow balance everything just like everyone else is doing. I feel like if I see someone posting three TikToks a day, I'm like, oh, I should be doing that. But then I see someone posting like the most amazing cinematography YouTube video that took them probably like months to work on, and I'm like, well, I should be doing that. It's like, all right, okay, I'm trying to be 20 different people at once, and that's just not possible. I need to be Ava. I need to find my flow, and I need to respect that. And that's when the good is going to happen. That's when your career is really going to flourish, is when you kind of like dial it in on who you're supposed to be and not trying to be 20 different people.
Right. What role does Olav play in all of this tornado of a mogul that you are?
Olav is the most supportive human being ever. Like, this relationship is just like a total blessing, because we're long distance and everyone's always like, oh my gosh, like long distance must be so hard. But like for us, it actually, I don't want to say makes it easier, but it kind of does, because it's like we're both so busy, we're both so motivated, and we both still have so many big dreams and goals for each other, and we respect that in one another. That's the amazing thing. So it's like we don't get lonely too often because we are so busy, and we respect each other's hustle so much that like we just help each other along the way. So like, for example, like we call each other every morning. If I have shit to do or he has shit to do, like we respect that. And like, we don't need to have a 2-hour FaceTime every morning, because it's like, hey, you know, Olav is shooting a campaign. He has to be on set. We say hi. We say we love you. We say go, good luck. And like, we do our thing. And when it's over, you know, we FaceTime at night. And like, if he wakes up later because we're on opposite time zones, then like, we respect that. And we have, you know, 5-minute FaceTime, or sometimes we have a 4-hour FaceTime. And I just feel like this relationship is so healthy, and like, we respect each other so much and want the best for each other that like it just flows so, so well. And yeah, I mean, we're just very supportive of one another. And it's cool because he, like, we both, what's the right word to describe it? We both are very inspired by one another in different ways. Mm. So like what he's accomplished is, those are things that I want to accomplish that like I haven't accomplished yet, and vice versa. So it's cool because I can always go to him for advice on like, oh, like, what is it like to be on a campaign this big? And like, what is it like to deal with these contracts? And what is it like to just be, for example, like build an art piece, like build physical art? I don't know how to do that. And that's something that I've always wanted to learn. And he helps me with that, and vice versa. So it's like, we can go to each other for advice. We can go to each other for help and inspiration.
What is he asking you, and what is he inspired from your end of this being female driven and all, mm-hmm, like female based? Like what is a man, a straight man, pulling from you, fierce, yes, ass bitch?
A lot. Like what? I mean, he's asking me about like YouTube, like he's uploading on YouTube. So, I mean, even today we were FaceTiming and he was editing his YouTube video, and he was like, how long would you say is too long for a YouTube video? And I was like, I don't know, like for a vlog, like maybe 26 minutes and just like things like that. Like we just ask each other questions. Like he'll be like, oh, like I'm doing this brand deal. Like, what should I caption it? You know, like, I don't know. Uh-huh, so we just ask each other like little questions like that all the time. And like, it's super helpful to have someone like, and it's cool because he's a photographer. He travels with artists all the time, like big actors and like friggin' athletes and stuff. And it's like, I can ask him for advice on like travel stuff, or I can ask him for contacts if I need someone to film a music video for me or be my makeup artist or something. Like, he has those connections in a world that as a YouTuber, you just aren't involved in. So it's cool to like know about all the coolest directors and all these like cool little graphic designers that like are in his world. Mm-hmm. And then he can ask me for like all these YouTube people and like models and like people like in that world. We can connect each other to a lot of people and just build a big network together of like friends. And if he needs to hire like, you know, a model for a shoot or something, like I can help him find one. And it's cool. Like, we have a big network. We're kind of mm-hmm. like, we're like a little power couple, you know?
No, I love it because I feel like there's a stigma, I think, that I've come from, like, don't date someone in the industry. It's going to be messy, this and that. Mm-hmm. But if they're like industry adjacent or even in the same genre as you, I feel like it just makes you feel not as crazy because your mm-hmm. life is crazy and there's someone there to empathize with every aspect or any aspect of your life, whether that's yes. through work or personal, because they kind of go hand in hand at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever dated another YouTuber?
No, I mean, it scared me. Can you imagine? Like, I'm going to put her on blast. Des was saying, oh my God, Ava does all these TikToks about her ex. She's just that bitch. Like, she's just so crazy. And I'm like, that's fucking Ava. Like, she just goes in. But it's just like so cool that you're just mm-hmm. like, you know, you're real like in person because we've hung out and also mm-hmm. like and online. And I feel like that gives you a sense of sanity because I feel like to be delusional and sane all at the same time, you have to have people that understand you, whether that's on social mm-hmm. media, your man, your audience. And I feel like it just like level sets everything.
Yeah. I mean, I got so lucky to have a boyfriend that understands social media and like understands what I do and like doesn't get pressed if I like make a TikTok roasting my ex.
Right.
Because like, I feel like if I wasn't dating someone that like wasn't understanding to that or like didn't really get it, it would cause like maybe issues. Mm-hmm. But Olaf and I are very unproblematic. We're very similar in the fact that like we understand when something is actually like an issue to bring up and when something is just like fun and like just mm-hmm. silly. So we don't get in fights often at all. I think we've been together. It's actually, oh my gosh, what day is it? Is it the 20th, 21st? Our mm-hmm. 2-year anniversary was yesterday.
Ah, oh, no, happy anniversary.
Thank you. But like, we're such a chill couple that like, look at me. I didn't even remember to say happy anniversary. Like, we're like, that's not something that we get mad about. Like, we're busy. We love each other. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's not normal, but that's just the couple that we are. Like, we don't expect all these things that I guess like my past relationships and my friends' relationships, like they would celebrate their 1-month anniversary. They would have to do something for Valentine's Day or it would be mm-hmm. a fucking issue. They would have to get each other birthday and Christmas presents. And like, to me, that just stresses me out. I've realized that like I have so much going on. Having to stress about getting a 2-year anniversary present for my boyfriend is just it's not something that like matters on my to-do list or his. And we both respect that. And we realize like, you know, like we love each other so much that we don't really put like worth in those things personally as a couple.
I love that. I'm seeing a trend in that. I just attended a wedding with my brother and it was not the traditional. It was just at a bar. We were all vibing and it was just so fucking cool. There was just like tapas everywhere and mm-hmm. drinks. And gone are the days of like standards and traditions. And, mm-hmm. and I think here are the days of just fulfilling your happiness for you.
Exactly.
And I think that's what you really exemplify. And it really shows through who you are and like your brands. And I'm like, this sickening bitch just keeps going. So I'm really proud of you. And I'm so glad to call you a friend. I feel like you're like a little sister that I've never had. So, and I'm just championing everything that you're doing, and it's just like so fucking cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm always gonna be a super fan of you, no matter how far you grow and anything that you need. It's just like so fucking cool. I'm here for you.
You too. Like dead ass. Yes. It's cool to see us both just like keep shining and keep
growing. Know. I'm like, oh my God, we look like babies in that drag video. And to have Kiki, and I'm like, when's the last time I saw her? Because there's so many memories that like I have. We did that collab on your channel recently, mm-hmm. with everybody, Alex, mm-hmm. and Adam and stuff. That was so fun. And I saw you at Fashion Week before that. So I'm just like, oh my God. Like it's yes. just like never, it's like time doesn't pass whenever I see you. So it's just really awesome.
Yes. Well, it's like I said, it's my 10 year anniversary on YouTube. And I think I'm going to throw a 10 year anniversary party in November. So you will be there, of course. And
of course,
it's going to be so fun.
Awesome. Awesome. We have a quick segment to play called Doing the Most, like rapid fire. Do you want to play?
Yes, let's do it.
Doing the most, bitch.
Who do you think is doing the most?
Out of anyone? Oh shit. Is this anyone? Rapid fire? Fuck. Who's doing the most? Brent Revere.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Brent.
What means the most to you?
Self-love.
When were you the most messy?
2016.
Yeah, I definitely met you then. What is the most expensive thing you have?
I just bought a Birkin. No, the G-Wagon. The G-Wagon.
Okay, just two flexes in one. Well, thank you, Ava, for joining. Follow her everywhere. You just Google Ava Gutowski, My Life is Ava. Check out her music. Blast it in your car or your room, your kitchen, and just bop to this bitch because I'm so inspired. You guys will be too. And thank you again for joining my podcast. Say yes to the guest.
Yes. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you. Love you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Say Yes to the Guest. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and follow at Say Yes to the Guest on all social platforms. Remember, you are successful. Now go out and be the bad bitch you truly are. Can't wait to chat with you next time. Bye.